And that is a great truth. I stand redeemed. I hope you stand redeemed today. I hope you know for sure that if you die, you'd go to heaven. And if you don't know that right now, by the end of the service, I hope you'll make that decision. And we can't force you. We never do. Can't. It's impossible to make somebody get saved. But certainly we offer that to you and want you to trust Jesus as your Savior today. Because the Bible says to everything there is a season. To everything. Everything there is a season. I love this passage of Scripture. A time to every purpose under heaven. Everything goes on. There's a season. And there's a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, and so on and so forth. Everything, God says, has its season. And there is a, what's that mean? That means there's a right time. There is a time for everything. I was thinking, you know, we pray for the mother-daughter banquet, and I start looking at the forecast, when we plan it out. And of course, you have over 200 ladies coming to a banquet and bringing the food. And so in my mind, I'm seeing all these ladies coming in, and we want the weather to be nice. We want it to be perfect, and we do not want it to be raining. And as they were calling for, we definitely don't want it to be snowing. And sure enough, the season of rain yesterday was right when ladies are bringing things in, all the way till the end. And then it quit. And you know, it's interesting because we pray and we say, oh God, please give us a sunny day and let it be 75 degrees. In fact, let it be 75 degrees every day. But anyway, and then that little season of rain, you know. And of course, I thought about my message. What am I going to, Lord, you let me down. No, he's just telling me there was a season of rain. And it was that particular time. And it was such a blessing because we had men out there with umbrellas, and it was quite funny really watching. And we had a lot of them, and a lot of young men and men, older men like Dale Stewart. And anyway, we're out there, and we're helping ladies bring things in, and maybe that's why we had a season of rain, just for that. I don't know. But God always knows about the season, and he knows about the fact that there is always a time for every purpose under heaven. And we don't, by the way, we don't control any of that, okay? If I did, I'd be adjusting thermostats and all that kind of stuff. But just remember this, that there is always a time for everything. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless the preaching today. Please speak to our hearts. I pray you'll use the message to help some folks today to understand that there's a season for everything. And Lord, it is a season to be saved, a season to give our lives to you. And I pray that we'll make the decisions you lay on our hearts today, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, by the way, this seasonal thing, we understand, especially we men, we understand it because of sports. And we understand, I mean, it's something as a little boy, I remember going through the sports seasons, and we lived in a neighborhood where literally we played whatever sport it was in season to play. We didn't mess that up. I mean, whatever was going on as far as the season was concerned, that was the sport we'd play. I mean, when it was baseball season, we'd be in one of the fields playing baseball. Football season came along, and now it's time to get out the football. And the only thing that ever was different than that was many times we would play basketball, obviously in the summer, because it's real hard to play outside in the winter, though we did that every now and then, where we'd shovel the basketball court and play out there. But typically, we tried to follow whatever the season was. And so many times, if you like sports, you understand seasons. I mean, we understand since baseball typically is played outdoors, unless you have a great big dome or something, but typically it's played outdoors. Well, baseball season, that season is during the spring or the summer. And of course, we're in baseball season now. Football is an outdoor sport, again, unless you have a dome of some kind. But the guys that play, they're wearing pads. And so it seems like that season has become fall into the first part of winter. And some football games are played when it's very, very cold. But typically, it's more of a fall kind of a season. basketball and hockey, of course, are indoor sports as far as the event itself is concerned. And so they're played indoors, and typically they are a winter season kind of a sport. But the key to all of that is there's a time set aside. We call that the season. It is the right time. Again, we try to gauge, okay, when are we going to have baseball season? Well, let's have it in Michigan. Let's do it in January. Okay, somebody messed up their time there, didn't they? They weren't thinking through that, because it would be very difficult to shovel off the whole field so you could play baseball. There's a right time, a season. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says it very well, a time to plant. Okay, there is a time to plant. Brother Brimmer, he plants and he grows things. He sells produce, and there is a certain time that you plant. Now, every now and then, the weather kind of messes us up, but typically, there's that right time. There is a time to plant. The Bible says there is a time to pluck up that which was planted, and that we call that the harvest. And there's a time set aside for that. Again, we could try to change that around. We could try to say, you know what, I think it would be better to plant in November. That's a good time to plant. And we certainly would have the problems from that. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. I mean, there are sorrowful times in our lives, and we don't laugh. There are happy times in our life, and we don't necessarily weep. There is a time set aside to do that, and certainly if we do laugh when we should be weeping, that may end up being very inappropriate, and so on and so forth. Now, Felix here in the book of Acts, and that's where I want to end up today, in the book of Acts, Felix talks about a convenient season. He talks about being the one that I want to set aside the time when this season is going to take place in my life, and I want it to be a convenient season. And I just think it's very interesting. You know the story here. Paul is given the opportunity to tell Felix and his wife Drusilla to give them the plan of salvation. I mean, literally, it is what we do as we go out week after week and knock on doors and talk to people and try to get in conversation with people about how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. And now Paul has this opportunity with Felix and Drusilla, and literally they are sitting down and Paul is explaining to them how to be saved. In my mind, I see Paul saying, you know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. We all deserve punishment for our sin, and every one of us is a sinner, and we deserve punishment for our sin, and Jesus died on the cross to pay that price, to take that punishment for you, and all you need to do today is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I, in my mind, I see Paul going through the plan of salvation and maybe showing him from his New Testament, no. But maybe he has a little parchment of a tract, you know, that he's showing him. But he's going through the plan of salvation. He's telling him how Jesus died on the cross, how Jesus loves him, how for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And he's going through the plan of salvation. And the Bible says this. The Bible says Felix trembled. Now, what's that tell me? That tells me God is speaking to Felix. Felix trembled. Felix had no reason to be afraid of Paul. Paul's the prisoner. Felix is the authority. Felix had no reason to be afraid of what Paul may do. He had no reason to be afraid of Paul's ministry. You know, people say, well, you Baptists, you know, you force people to make decisions. It's not possible. Can't do it. Never have. Never will. It doesn't work. You know, if we said you will make this decision, or we're gonna put you in a chokehold, or we're gonna punish you, it doesn't work that way. You can't make people get saved. It's not possible. You get saved because you have made that decision in your heart. So there's nothing that Felix is afraid of. I mean, he's not afraid of Paul. He's not afraid of Paul's group and what he represents. You know what he's afraid of? He's afraid of the message he just heard. He just found out the truth. Amen. Boy, I watch people tremble. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, it really is one of the great things about preaching. Larry, of course, and Ed and many of our folks preach in jails and prisons. And it's amazing to watch somebody under conviction. You know, some big old guy that has mom tattooed across his face. And, you know, he's committed all kinds of crime. And he's sitting there and he's scared. And he's sitting there and a tear's coming down his cheek. And he, you know, maybe he's done some terrible thing, and he's a gang leader or something like that. What a blessing it is when you see God working in the heart of somebody like he did here with Felix. Boy, it's exciting. I told you about my first soul winning experience and went through the plan of salvation. Another guy was with me, and I mean, he was the leader. He was doing all the talking, and this guy literally shook his coffee out of his cup. He was shaking so bad. We didn't say anything. You know, we didn't do anything to him. We weren't holding a gun to him or anything like that. Just told him the good old gospel. Amen. That's all we did. And the guy's just terrified. That's like Felix here. He trembled. I'm sure Drusilla was probably thinking, wow, you know, you got his attention. But here's what he does as he trembles, the Bible says. The Bible, it says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered. In my mind, I see Paul saying to him, Felix, wouldn't you like to be saved today? And here's what Felix said. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When I have a convenient season. Now wait a minute. What are you doing, Felix? I'm trembling right now. Why are you trembling? Because I'm scared to death. That's why. What are you scared about, Felix? I don't want to go to hell. That's what I'm scared about. Felix. Why don't you get saved? I will. When it's convenient. Every soul winner in this room knows exactly what that's like. If you've soul winned any, if you've witnessed to people, if you talk to people at work, you talk to family members, you know, you get them down the plan of salvation and they're hearing it, and they hear the words of God, and you watch it, the conviction start to work on them, and maybe you see that little trembling, and it doesn't have to be there. I'm just saying many times it is there, and you know they're under conviction, and you know that God's speaking to them. It's happened so many times. And they look at you and say, you know what? I'm going to do that someday. I'll do that someday. But not now. And what are they saying? They're saying what Felix said. They're saying it's not convenient now. When I have a convenient season, I'll get saved. Now maybe you've said that before. Maybe you read a gospel tract. And you knew you needed to get saved. Why didn't you get saved right then? Well, I'll do it someday. Now you come to church and you say, you know what? Now I hear it, and maybe at the invitation, maybe I will get saved. But you've done it over and over and over again. I did that. How many of you did that before you got saved? I did it. I did. I don't know how many times I did it. Several did. Some won't raise their hand for anything ever in church. But now try to apply that to Ecclesiastes 3. All right. Honestly, I did this, and I kind of got a chuckle out of it, all right? So in other words, now we're deciding when it's convenient, okay? How about a time to be born? When is that convenient? Okay, maybe you say, you know what? It's just not convenient to be born at 9 months. I want to wait another year. You see what I'm saying? No, there is a time. It is the right time. Okay, there is the time. Every mom here knows, oh, there is a time. Right? But Poindexter says, no. I want to wait at least another year. I'm pretty happy in here. Things are going well. I can sleep during church. Nobody sees. You know, I see the, well, actually, I can't that far, but. What if Poindexter says, you know what, I'm only 3 months into this thing, I'm ready now. See what I'm saying? There is a time to be born. When is that time? It's that season. It is a particular time. It's the right time. Again, a time to plant, okay? Honestly, Brother Bremer, he does this for a living. I'm sure there are times it would be more convenient because he has more time. It'd be more convenient to plant during the winter. You say, yeah, but preacher, that isn't going to work out. Okay, understand what I'm saying here. Convenience has absolutely nothing to do with the season. Honestly, yesterday it was inconvenient that it rained, but it rained. You know why? Because that was the season. It was that little season of time. God said, I'm going to put rain over the parking lot of Berean Baptist Church. I don't know if it rained anywhere else. I assume that it did. That would really be an interesting thing if it didn't. But there is a season, there's a time I am going to put rain over the parking lot. And whether, you know, and I could have said, and my wife certainly would have said, this is not very convenient, but it is the season. It was the time. The Monroes had a wonderful, convenient season. Somebody parked on their porch. You say, I don't like all these things. I don't like that kind of stuff. But understand this. It's a time. It's a time. It's that time. And it's the right time. That's the season. You know, we wouldn't think of golf season being in January and February in Michigan. I mean, we just wouldn't. Whether it's more convenient. Some people might say, you know what, I have more time in January and February. I could certainly go golfing more. But in Michigan, that would really be a problem. Or we wouldn't think of having, you know, my vacation is in August, and therefore I've decided that I'm going to go snow skiing here in Michigan in August. Actually, you might be able to. But like Felix, we too often speak of a convenient season. We want to control this thing. We want to run this thing. We want to use it many times as an excuse. You know, I think about Jesus dying on the cross, and I don't think there was anything convenient about it. The Bible says it was when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. When the fullness, there was a time, there was a season that Jesus would come, and he would be born. We celebrate Christmas, and God with us, Emmanuel, Christ has come. There was a time that he would come. There was a time he would walk on this earth. He would live a perfect life. He would then die on a cross. And there was nothing convenient about it. Read John 17. You'll see how inconvenient it was as Jesus prayed and sweat drops of blood. There was nothing convenient about being beaten with a cat of nine tails, where literally his skin was peeled from his body. There was nothing convenient about his beard being pulled from his face, his hands and his feet being nailed to a cross. There is nothing convenient about it, and yet that was the time. And were it not for that time, we'd all die and go to hell. Nothing convenient about it. You say, well, what's this have to do with us? It has to do with us several areas that I think we often say, well, when I have a convenient season, you know, I'm just not ready, or I want to do it, I want to wait, and I've got this idea and that. Number one area, of course, is the area of salvation. The area of salvation. I'm thinking it was a year ago I talked to somebody about being saved, and this person said, I took them all the way through the plan of salvation. Very, very clear. They clearly understood every word that I was saying. And when I came to the fact that, is there any reason why you could not trust Jesus as your Savior today? The person looked at me and said, there is no reason. I said, would you like to be saved? I knew they were going to pray and get saved. And I said, would you like to get saved today? And they looked at me and they said, you know, today's not a good day. I said, really, why not? Well, I have some things to do. I said, but you're not doing those things now. Now is when you know you need to be saved. Do you know you need to be saved? I know I need to be saved. Do you know if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell? I know that. Do you know that Jesus loves you and he died for you and he wants to save you today? They said, I know that. I said, is there a reason why you can't get saved today? Well, there's really no reason, but I'd rather wait. I've heard this. I want to walk the aisle in church. You ever heard that? You don't have to walk the aisle. You need to get saved now. That's what Felix was saying. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now. When? Now is the day of salvation. When is my season to get saved? Today, if you're not saved. Okay, it's why you're here. It's why you came to church. You've never been saved. It's why you came today, because today is the day you need to be saved. There's no guarantee you'll have tomorrow. No guarantee any of us will. Now is the day of salvation. This is the season to be saved. Felix, what season are you looking for? God has spoken to your heart. God is dealing with you to the point that you tremble. Look what the Bible says in verse 24. He came with his wife Drusilla, and he heard him. He came purposely. The Bible says he sent for Paul. He said, I want to hear this. I want to hear this. And what's it say? He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He said, I want to, you know, whatever he'd heard. He'd heard about Christians who were on fire for God. They loved God. They were excited about God. I think he heard about Jesus had done many great, wonderful, miraculous things while he was here on this earth. I think he heard that Jesus died. And I think he heard that Jesus was buried. And I know that he had to have heard that Jesus rose again, though I'm sure he wondered about that because of all the other lies that were told. I think Felix had heard about Paul's conversion. Paul was worse than Felix. And all of a sudden now, you know, Paul, who persecuted Christians, now is preaching Christ. You know, and I think he heard all that, and he said, you know, I want to hear this guy. And it's like somebody coming to church. It's like somebody going to a revival. It's like a prisoner coming out of their cell to go to a fellowship room and hear somebody preach. It's like somebody answering the door when a soul winner is there and saying, come on in. Felix and his wife say, tell us. Okay, Felix, I'll tell you. And Paul does. The Bible says in verse 25, he reasoned. What's that mean? That means he's chewing on it. I mean, that's a good word. He's not just accepting what Paul says. He's thinking real hard about it. He's chewing on it. And by the way, that's what everybody should do with anything from the Word of God. And he's reasoning. He's deciding from what is being presented to him. He is making a rational decision about this thing. What did he reason about? The Bible says righteousness. What do you mean? Righteousness. Just doing right. Righteousness. Thinking about God's righteousness, how God's perfect. Comparing that perhaps with his own righteousness, how he's not. The Bible says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Especially in comparison to God's. And so with that righteousness, he's reasoning of righteousness, and all he can figure is, I'm coming up short in this thing. The Bible says he's reasoning not only of righteousness, but of temperance. What's that? Temperance, we've learned it on Wednesday night. What is it? Self-control. And all of a sudden he knows he's not in control of himself. Because if I can't do right, and if I don't do right, obviously, I'm failing. By the way, if you'd reason of righteousness, his and yours, and self-control, how you're falling short, there's only one conclusion to come to, and that's the third thing he reasoned about, and that is judgment to come. And I'm sure Paul said to him, you know, Felix, if you die without Christ, if you die without your sins being paid for, you will go to hell. Judgment to come. Now, you know, that's not warm and fuzzy. That's not politically correct. That's not designed to make everybody just really feel good. But it's the truth. It is the truth. And that's what Paul said to Felix that day. And Felix reasoned, and he knew that there was a price, judgment, for his failure. And he trembled. I think he trembled because he thought about hell. I think he trembled because he knew he deserved it. I think he trembled because he realized there was a way out of it. Conviction. That's what it's called. I always ask the question, in soul winning, I always ask the question, is there any reason why you couldn't be saved today? In my mind, I wonder if Paul asked him that. Is there any reason why you couldn't be saved today? No, there's no reason. Would you like to be saved today? Well, I'll tell you what. I am totally convicted about this thing. But I want to wait. Convenient season. What was he thinking? I wonder, was he thinking, I want to go forward in a church service so everybody sees me? Was he thinking, I got to clean some things up first? I hear that all the time. No, you don't. You come just like you are. Just as I am without one plea, right? Just as I am. That's how we come. That's how I came. Lost, on my way to hell, I came to him. That's how he wants us to come, just like that. Amen. I don't know what he was thinking. What do you think? Convenience season. Well, Drusilla's here, my wife. I'm a little embarrassed about this thing. Yeah. She needs to be saved too, Felix. See what I'm saying? You know, what are you thinking when you say, when I have a more convenient season? God spoke to you. God's dealing with you. God's causing you to tremble because you know you've got to make that decision. I've told the story before. By the way, Ecclesiastes said there's a time to die. And since we don't know when that season is, that's not something you can mark on your calendar. We don't know. Time to die. I've told this before. I was pastoring in Bern, Indiana. A little town called Geneva, Indiana was about 4 miles away, just south of Bern. And we had a bus ministry that went into Geneva, Indiana, a little town, maybe 1,000 people. And some kids started riding our bus, and their dad's name was George Luger. And I remember so clearly visiting him every now and then and stopping in every now and then. Of course, our bus workers were there every week. And they would tell me how they talked to George and talked to him about being saved. All of his children got saved. All of his children got baptized. And George would always be very friendly to the bus workers and always friendly to me when I visit him. But George just would not get saved. And he always said this. He said, "One of these days, Pastor, I'm going to walk your aisle. And I'm going to get on that altar. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart. But I'm not going to do that today. One of these days." And he said that over and over again. I still can remember when I found out that he had cancer. And he was only in his 40s. He was a very young man to be diagnosed with cancer. And I remember going to his house and talking to him. He said, "George, you know, I understand you've been diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, that thing can happen real fast, buddy." I said, "You really need to get saved." He said, "You know what? I know I need to get saved." But he said, "You know what? One of these days I'm going to walk your aisle. And I'm going to come down that aisle. And you're going to be surprised because I'm going to be the first one down that aisle. And I am going to get on that altar. And, in fact, you can come and you can." I said, "George, you don't have to walk our aisle. You just need to call on Jesus. And you need to call on Jesus very, very soon." I remember as his cancer progressed, he started doing the chemo treatments and all the different treatments that he did. And I remember sometimes in his home, I remember weeping as I talked to him. Said, "George, you know, you don't know how much time you have. George, you really need to get saved." But he always said, "One of these days, I'm going to come to your church. And I'm going to walk your aisle. And I'm going to get on that altar. And I'm going to get saved." I remember the day came, and he was totally bald now because of the treatments and everything, and he just really looked like he was in very, very bad shape. And I met him out, and we were meeting in a storefront building at that time, and he had gotten out of his car and tripped over the curb, and he fell, and he cut his head. And I remember going out to check on him, and I said, "George, you're here." He said, "Oh," he said, I came, I was going to walk the aisle, and I was going to get saved, like you said. But he said, "I fell, and now I got this gash, and blood was streaming down his face." And he said, I'm not going to be able to stay. I said, "George, right here in the sidewalk, buddy." I said, "I'll pray with you. You can get saved right here." He said, "No," he said, "one of these days, I'm going to walk the aisle, and I'm going to get saved in your church at the altar." I said, "George, don't put it off any longer." Weeks went by. His cancer got worse. And I still can remember seeing him frail and just a skinny little man. Of course, his hair never came back because he was going down very fast and he was in the hospital. And I can still see him all hooked up to all the machines and the medicine and everything. And he's laying in the hospital bed. And I went in with one of my deacons. I said, "George," he could barely speak. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I still want to walk the aisle." I said, "George, you cannot wait any longer." There was a retired Methodist preacher on the other side of the curtain. And I could hear him. I didn't know who he was at the time. I found out later on. But I heard this man over there praying, "Oh, God, save his soul. Oh, God, please." And I thought, wow. This is good. And I went through the plan of salvation one more time with George. And I said, "George, you know, you could give me the plan of salvation." He said, "Pastor, it's time." And I'll never forget when he prayed and he asked the Lord to save him. Right after he prayed, I said, George, is there anything else you want to say or anything? He said, tell everybody, don't put it off. 2 weeks later, he was in heaven. We had his funeral. And I'll never forget, tell people, don't wait. Now, I'm telling you today, friend, there's no reason to wait. Today is the day. I sat in church, and every invitation that was given, my heart sped up who knows how many beats. I mean, literally, I could feel it pounding. Every invitation, I knew I needed to get saved. Every time. And I'd put it off. I'll do it one of these days. I am going to do it. If that makes you feel good, I don't know why. Because you're never guaranteed that next day. None of us are. Convenient season regarding salvation. That's what Felix said. But I've got a couple other things that I think about. By the way, how many? That convenient season never came. We don't know if Felix ever did get saved. I don't know. Is he in hell today? Nearly 2,000 years already in hell. Burning. Crying out. Weeping. Maybe saying, too late! I don't know what he'd be crying. What would you cry out in hell? What about his wife? Hey, Felix. Your wife's sitting right next to you. You just condemned her to hell. Perhaps. Because you said, another season. Did he have any kids? I don't know. Maybe his decision now, they're not going to get saved either. I'm just saying to you today, don't put off salvation. Amen. There is no convenient season. Today's a day to be saved. But you know, we would all amen that and we'd all be excited. But what about number two? What about surrender? Isn't that something we want to put off too? Surrender? It's the same thing. You know, after we get saved, now's the season to take all the steps. I just preached to the shepherds over there talking about Noah's Ark. God said, get off the ark. Amen. I mean, God said, okay, it's time to get off the ark. Time to move on. That's why so many Christians are miserable, because you're still on the ark. You got saved and that's it. God has so much more. And I think about, this area of surrender, and we keep saying, well, one of these days, I'll get baptized. That's the next step. What are we ashamed of? I remember when I got saved, and Brenda's family was very instrumental in that, and at the Baptist church and everything, and I remember I got saved. I had hair way down on my shoulders, and that was my biggest hang-up right there. They said, you need to get baptized. I said, you mean I need to get wet in front of everybody? They said, yeah. Yeah, that's what you need to do. I said, oh, I don't think I can do that. Well, why? Well, because my hair. Isn't it amazing how God deals with all that? But hey, when will it be convenient for you to get baptized? Jesus hung on a cross for us. I'm worried about somebody seeing me with wet skin. Right. You know, I've baptized. I mean, honestly, when is the convenient season? Ethiopian eunuch said, what doth hinder me? You know, what doth hinder? There, here's water. See, here's water. There's water. Robes, towels. We're all set. Hair dryers. I've baptized so many. Baptized elderly folks. I baptized folks where men had to get in with us, and we had to carry them, and we had to lift them in, and had to get them all set. I baptized people sitting in a chair and had to do it that way because they were crippled. I baptized a fellow that was like 90 years old, and the baptistry area back in the back, it was cold back there. They didn't have the right heating back there, and I'm going to say it was 40 degrees, and he was back there going, Pastor Rogers, I'm cold. Just a little old man back there, baptized that fella. And when is the convenient season? Well, you know, I just, listen to me. What are we ashamed of? It'd be like me telling my wonderful wife, who's back there, it's not convenient for me to wear this ring. It's not convenient. It'd be like a Marine when his sergeant says, put on your dress uniform. It'd be like him saying, well, it's not convenient for me to wear that. Baptism is, I've decided to follow Jesus, and I want everybody to know. And that's why I get baptized. Surrender is what I'm talking about. Join in the church. I'll never forget one fella. He said, an elderly fella, we started our church in Bern, Indiana, and he said, you know, I like what you're doing all that, but I'm just watching the corn grow. Watching the corn grow. Yeah, he watched the corn grow till it died. Never did come. Never got involved. Never did anything. Huh? How about tithing? Yeah, well, when it's in the budget. Okay, so it's okay for us to steal from people till we have a good budget? Because that's what you're doing. You're stealing from God. See, it gets quiet when you get on some of this stuff. We like talking about Felix, but when we talk about us, right? You know, well, I'll start tithing when I have the money. That's like saying I'll have kids when I can afford them. Oh, welcome to being childless. Because you're never going to afford them. Every now and then I'll have some guy say, you know, well I'm going to marry her whenever I can afford it. I guess you'll be single the rest of your life then. Hello. By the way, your tithe is God's. When is it convenient to quit robbing God? How about surrendering sin? Here's the thing. We like our sin. We like our sin, right? And it's always convenient to not do sins that we don't like. That's how we can point at everybody else's sins. Because we don't necessarily like those sins. We like our sins. But the truth of the matter is, we need to get our sins right with God and get rid of them. Convenient to stop my sin when I no longer like my sin. And that just doesn't usually happen, does it? That's the only time it's really convenient. I mean, I can get after Tim for all his sins, and I do often. And there's a lot of them, believe me. But it's so easy about that because they're not the things necessarily that I like. Now, we might like some of the same sins. We try to avoid that conversation. But it's so easy for me to say, I can't believe you do that, buddy. And then God looks at me and says, yeah, but I can't believe you do what you do. Amen. Yeah, but I like that. I know. And by the way, it wouldn't be sin in our life. We wouldn't do it if we didn't like it. That's the thing about it. So when is it convenient to stop it? Well, it's never going to be convenient to stop it because you're always going to like it. Hello? So what? Well, I don't like the result of it. Well, why? Okay, so if that's what it's going to take to stop you, why would you want to wait until the result of your sin starts to take place? The wages of sin is death. So now this sin has caused you to be sick. Maybe it's smoking or drinking or drugs of some kind. Okay, this sin is, and now you say, okay, now I'm ready. Too bad it took that. Instead of just getting on an altar and saying, oh God, forgive me and help me to quit. Help me to stop this sin. Why wait? Right? Many never are convinced. They'll go to jail. They'll get out. I'm thinking of people told me, hey, I'm never going to go back here again. Never going to be back. They're back. Why? Why would you do that? Well, because it's not a convenient season to stop it. Huh? It's when God says to you, this is wrong. Stop. That's the season we need to stop. I think about first being saved and altar call given, and I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know what all this stuff was about. I just knew God laid on my heart, this is wrong in your life. And I remember going forward. Didn't matter, you know. I remember going to the altar and praying, God, forgive me and help me quit. Was it ever convenient? It was a pain. But it's not as big a pain as the result of sin. I promise you that. Huh? I think about smokers that they get cancer, and they get cancer of the throat, and they have parts of their throat removed, and You've seen people with a hole there. I saw a guy one time with a hole there, and he stuck a cigarette in the hole. Just not a convenient season yet, right? You get right during the season when you know it's sin, when you're convicted, when you tremble like Felix, and God speaks to your heart. You trust God. You trust your counselors. The young people, you trust your parents and your counselors, and you listen, and you say, you know what? I surrender. I surrender. But I like it. I know. That's the biggest thing that is inconvenient to you because you like it, right? Church attendance, it's another area of surrender. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Truth is, we do what we want to do. Surrender, surrender. Number three is service, another area where we say, you know, when it's convenient, I'll serve God. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's John 9, verse 4. This is work season, folks. Honestly, for God, this is it right now. This is it. By the way, you say, well, I'm just waiting on this thing. You know, I want to serve God, but I just can't right now. It's not convenient right now. Think of the inconvenience your work at work causes. You know, tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off, isn't that a little inconvenient? I mean, you're just... You're out, you know, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 your alarm. Isn't that inconvenient to you? I mean, seriously, the 8 hours that you put in, nine, whatever it is, isn't that inconvenient to your schedule? Seems to me like it would be. I mean, here you are, you're not with your loved ones. Isn't that inconvenient? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, at the end of the day, you're tired. That's an inconvenience, isn't it? What a pain. And by the way, it's not fun, usually. You know, especially line A to line B for 8 hours. Yeah, that's inconvenient. And your back hurts, right? Takes all your time, gets you up early in the morning, keeps you up late at night, whatever it is, huh? Right. Yet, we all piously will say, well, I'll serve God when it's convenient. We need folks to get a CDL. We need people to drive. We need bus drivers. We really do. But it's just not. We need folks that'll serve in master clubs. We need people that'll work. We need people in the nursery. It's day, folks. Now is the time to serve God. Not tomorrow. Today is the time. We need folks at Vacation Bible School, huh? Yeah, but one of these days, you know. I don't know how many elderly folks I've counseled with who said, I waited too long. I just waited too long. Today's the day. Now's the time. Quit waiting on a convenient season. You'll never serve God. The devil will always make it inconvenient because life has its inconveniences. Salvation, surrender, service, the last thing, soul winning. We have the gospel. We are witnesses. The Bible said we are witnesses. We saw something. It happened to me. I'm a witness of what salvation is. I'm a witness of what it is when Jesus saves my soul. I'm a witness. I've seen what he's done when he took the guilt away. I'm a witness. I'm redeemed, as Stephanie sung about. I'm redeemed. I'm free. I'm a witness. I'm a slave set free. Glory to God. I am a witness. How foolish for me to say, well, when I have a convenient season, I'll tell my loved ones how they too can be free. When I have a convenient season, I'll tell my coworkers how they too can be free. When I have a convenient season, I'll tell people how they don't have to go to hell either. God says, I'll even give you power. When? Today. Now. And you know, folks, there are lots of folks out there that are lost. Amen. Convenient? Never more convenient than it is today. Because I promise you this, it's getting harder and harder in the United States of America. And there's no guarantee 1 year from now we'll be able to do what we can do now. But we can do it now. Well, preacher, it's hard to talk to my loved ones. It's hard to talk to my neighbors. It's hard to talk to my coworkers. I know it's inconvenient, but it's never going to be convenient. What is it? It may be the difference between them going to heaven and going to hell. I close with the story I've told before. I was putting in ceiling fans when I went to Bible college down in Pensacola. And I had a job in Gulf Breeze, which is just south, believe it or not, there is south of Pensacola. And just south of Pensacola on the little island there, just before you get to the ocean. And I was putting in a ceiling fan for a fellow named Mr. Barlow. And I think I put a couple of them in at his house. And I always witnessed to the people that I put ceiling fans in for, gave them gospel tract, gave them a plan of salvation. Mr. Barlow, though, was, we were talking about a lot of things, and I kept thinking, I need to talk to him about the Lord. I need to witness to him. And while I was working, he had a little tool thing, and he brought out his little tool thing. He wanted to show me that and show me how that worked. It spun around, and it had his tools. And he said, I really like this thing. If you ever see anything like that, he said, I would love for you to get me one of those. I'd pay you for it if you ever see any little. And so I took note of that, and I thought about that. And I kept trying to get to the plan of salvation with him, but I was in a hurry. I had another job to do. And I kept saying to myself, I'll go back. I'll go back another day because I'm just not going to be able to today. And so I left. And that would have been in the fall of that year, and we went home to Indiana, and I don't remember where it was, but I saw that tool thing, and I saw one of those, and I got it, and I thought, this is it. This is my opportunity. I'm going to buy that thing, and I'm going to give that to him, and I'm going to give him the plan of salvation. I was so excited. You know, I was in charge of taking teen soul winning, so I knew about soul winning. You know, I mean, I was so excited about this thing, and I thought, boy, this is going to be a great story to tell. I bought this tool thing, and I took it to this man, and he got saved, and woohoo! Everybody's going to be excited. I can still see Brenda and I driving across the bridge to Gulf Breeze, long bridge, and I'm just so excited. I said, you know, this is going to be the best day. This guy's going to get saved. I'm going to give him this tool thing. He's going to trust Christ. This is the best day. Plus, I was feeling kind of guilty because I hadn't talked to him. We got there, and I looked, and as we drove up the road, he lived in a nice little area, very nice houses, and we drove up, and I saw a lot of cars out there, and I thought, boy, you know, I wonder, this isn't going to be a good time. They got a lot of company there and everything, and I thought, but this is the day. I'm going to do it anyway, and we walked up, and I noticed there was a lot of people there and everything, and knocked on the door, and a lady came to the door, and I said, is Mr. and Mrs. Barlow there? And she goes, oh, just a second. Let me have my mom come. And the mom came, and she recognized me, and she said, oh, thank you for coming. And I said, well, look, I got this tool thing for Mr. Barlow. I said, I'd like to give it to him. And all of a sudden, tears started streaming down her cheeks. She said, I'm so sorry. I thought you knew. I said, knew what? She said, well, my husband just died last night. Too late. Convenience season. Right? Now, that could be your dad, your mom, your neighbor, your coworker, your best friend, your spouse, your grandma, your grandpa. But somebody. Listen, when's the convenient season? Now. Now's the convenient season. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. You're here today without Christ. Please get saved today. As a Christian, have you surrendered? Are you serving as God wants you to serve? How about the area of soul winning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up all over. Father, bless our invitation. Help us to quit using the word convenient as an excuse. Help us to move to do as you lead us, every time you lead us, in every area of our lives. Save the lost today. Speak to Christians, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.